we decorate, and we prepare. We gather with family and friends. We shop, we add to cart, and we purchase. We attend events, and we travel to see loved ones. And in the middle of our commitments and our busy schedules, we hope for a sense of peace and comfort. We long for a quality of joy that we can't just explain away. And at the end of it all, we find ourselves here, together on Christmas Eve, all hoping for a touch from heaven of what's true and beautiful and eternal. So no matter who you are or where your situation in life finds you, it's this child who belongs at the center of it all. It's this child who is the Word made flesh, now dwelling among us. It's this child who will bring rest to the weary and healing to the broken. It's this child who is the Savior of the world and who saves us from our sins. It's this child who will restore and redeem and who invites us to come, to behold, and to adore. This child is Jesus.
Friends, welcome to worship on this holy night. I greet you in the name of the one born this night, Jesus, our Emmanuel. May the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ be with you. We have lit these candles each week as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of God's kingdom. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. We light the candle because Jesus, the light of the world, was born on this day and he brightens all things. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns.
Towards the end of this service, Diane will light a candle from the Christ candle and pass it to you, sharing the light of Christ. If you would like to prepare a candle to receive that later in this service, do that now.
Jesus laid down his sweet head. The star.
Let's join together in the call to worship. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all. For out of God's own being, Jesus has come to bring light and love to all people. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Come to gather our tears and laughter, our work and our play, into God's loving embrace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all. Let's pray together. Mysterious God, you come to us this season, softly as a mother's sigh, as startling as the cry of a newborn child. Come into our hearts, we pray, that we might be cradled in your love and stirred by your glory. We pray in the name of the one whose coming we celebrate, Jesus Christ, the Bethlehem baby. Amen.
The Animals Speak, a Christmas Eve legend. Long and long the story has been told of a young woman, her husband, a donkey, the faithful donkey, carrying them to their ancestral land. Long and long the story has been of shepherds, angels, sheep, the woolly sheep, grazing in the fields. Long and long the story of a star, magi, camels, the swaying camels, bearing gold and frankincense and myrrh. Angels carried the news to shepherds, and they came. A star beckoned the magi, and they came. No one called the animals, but they came too. Long and long, stable, manger, and the cows, the gentle cows. All stood in silent awe until the animals found words to praise. The donkey, the faithful donkey, the sheep, the woolly sheep, the camels, the swaying camels, and the gentle cows. He is here. Welcome. At last. Hallelujah. Long and long and long, the child. Now and now the story is told of a young woman, her husband, a donkey, of shepherds, angels, sheep. Now and now the story of a star, magi, camels, of a stable, manger, cows. Now we gather to celebrate the child. Our story told, we go to our beds to await the stroke of midnight, the velvet stroke of midnight, when, once more, the animals speak, donkeys waking in stables, sheep grazing in pastures, camels plodding across deserts, cows resting in barns, elephants gathered on savannas, bears stirring in dens, penguins cozied in snow, whales swimming in the sea. All lift their heads to the starry sky and cry, rejoice. Forever and forever, the story shall be sung in treetops, whispered in woods, bayed in yards, purred on pillows, and repeated in home after home after home by every one of God's creatures. The child is here. Rejoice.
Our scripture reading for tonight is the beloved story from chapter 2 in Luke's gospel that we find in verses 1 through 20, the story of the night Jesus was born. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Friends, this is the story of Jesus' birth. It is God's word to us. Thanks be to God. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. Friends, these words were first spoken 700 years before Jesus was even born by Isaiah, one of the best-known prophets in ancient Israel. They became part of the Hebrew scriptures, and they have been taught and meditated on over the centuries since. So along with many other passages, these words shaped people's expectations about how the Messiah would come and what he would do when he did. Tonight's reading that we heard from the gospel written by St. Luke tells the story of what really did happen when the one God had promised finally came. A child was born, a son. But at first glance, and through much of his life, Jesus didn't appear to match that prophecy. He didn't have the kind of authority resting on his shoulders that people thought passages like that one from Isaiah suggested. He clearly wasn't a prince as we understand princes, and he certainly didn't have an earthly throne like his ancestor, the great King David, had. So because it was all so very different from how people had expected, most people completely missed the significance of Jesus' birth. Well, like them, we probably have our own ideas about what it might be like if God came to us today. And depending on what those ideas are, it's entirely possible that we might miss his coming too. In my very limited experience, it can be all too easy to miss God. I don't really know why God operates this way. I have some ideas, but honestly, they're just that, my ideas. But I do know that I have been in situations where it seemed to me that the presence of God was absolutely palpable. But the person standing beside me seemed to be completely unaware of what I was sensing. And without question, I am sure I've completely missed God at times as well. Been in situations where his presence is glaringly obvious to others, but not so much for me. In our story, it was really only Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, and those shepherds who realized that Jesus wasn't just your average newborn. And as we heard, the shepherds really only knew because the angel came and told them who Jesus was and where they would find him and how they would know that it was him when they had. To you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And as the story goes, following the angel's clues, the shepherds went and they did find him exactly as had been said, swaddled in that manger in Bethlehem. Now, arguably, without the angel's leading, those shepherds probably wouldn't have been any different than anybody else. Without those explicit clues, they probably wouldn't have found Jesus either. Because no one ever expected that if God were going to send his son to be born here on earth, he would be born into such strange, humble circumstances, without any of the prerogatives of privilege to protect him. But he was. He came as a brand new baby, born to very humble, poor parents who weren't even able to be in their own home at his birth. Anything could have gone wrong. Anything could have happened to him. And before very long, the threat to that little child would become very real when a nervous and paranoid King Herod got wind that a newborn king had been born, a king who might one day threaten his reign. In that time and that place, no one ever expected that God's son would come with such humility and such vulnerability. And still, even to this day, no one expects to find God in vulnerability and weakness. We think of encountering God, and most of us imagine an encounter that will be powerful and impossible to miss, whatever form it takes. That God will do something supernatural and astounding to remove all doubt that he is real and he is near. But this beloved story of Jesus' birth reminds us that our expectations in that are probably off. Because from his first breath and throughout the 33 years beyond, Jesus was most often found in incredibly humble circumstances, surrounded by very ordinary people and entirely vulnerable to anyone who might want to oppose him. No one ever expected that the Son of God would choose to live that way. But he did. And this is still a stumbling block for many of us because it just seems to be so different from what we expect, from how we might write this story. And even, to be fair, different from what Isaiah's prophecy seemed to suggest. Why would God, as Isaiah called him, mighty God, who is more powerful than anyone or anything, why would God choose to let himself be weak and vulnerable? This Christian faith we practice is actually known for its paradoxes. And perhaps this is the most profound paradox of them all. That our God, who is almighty, all-powerful, not only let himself come to live here in human flesh, entirely vulnerable and weak, but that arguably those moments of incredible weakness, both here at the manger and the moments that would come 33 years later on a cross outside Jerusalem, those vulnerable moments were the ones when God's most powerful work was being done. These moments that seemed to an outside observer to be so strange and perhaps even wrong, these were actually the moments when God was in the process of putting everything right. Perhaps something deep within each of us wonders if this paradox might really be true. And maybe that deep wondering is what draws us back to the manger every Christmas, as we dare to believe that the hope for our world is not going to be found in money or fame or political or military power, but rather is found in something much different, something much, much more beautiful. That the most powerful force in the world is not what the world's narrative would have us believe it is, but that the most powerful force in the world is actually the reason God's Son came. That the most powerful force in our world might really be love. Love is the reason Jesus came and was born. It's the reason he lived every day the way that he did. It's even why he let himself be crucified. Love. The love Jesus embodied every day. The love Jesus taught us about and he trained his followers to emulate in their own lives. The love for God and love for others that Jesus has shown us is what life is really all about. This love Jesus embodied and taught and called us to, it truly has changed the world from that first night at the manger to this day. And our belief, my belief, is that that kind of love is so paradoxically powerful that it will continue to change the world until it becomes the driving force at the heart of all life. Love. Selfless love. It's not always the easiest way. And as Jesus' own story shows us, it's also often not the safest way. It usually takes vulnerability and risk. But as Jesus has shown us, it is the way to life. So if you are yearning for a glimpse of God and wondering where you might find him, instead of looking for something big and dramatic that takes center stage and makes all the headlines, try looking to the edges. To the humble corners, maybe where no one else is looking. Look for the weak, the vulnerable places, the spaces in our lives and in the lives of others where love is most needed and where love is being shared. Because that's where you just might find God. Amen.
Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ her little child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. With the poor and mean and lowly lived on earth a Savior holy. And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. Child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above, and he leads his children all to the place where he is gone.
Friends, let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, who has come to be with us, we pray to you now. If we were to list the miracles of Christmas, we would probably talk about virgin births, angels who appeared in the night, and stars that lit the sky leading people to the baby. But perhaps there were more miracles on this night than just those ones. The miracle of Mary saying yes when God asked her to believe, and the miracle of Joseph saying yes when God asked him to trust. Mary and Joseph had to change everything about their lives, and they did. And because of their yeses, Jesus was born, as we have heard. But what does it mean for us to say yes to this story? What does it mean for us to believe that it might be possible for the darkness to be transformed to light and for peace to come to our world? Those who have seen the darkness of the world know the fragility of light. We hold our breath as candles flicker, and we know that they don't always last. We also know that the birth of Jesus has not made everything right yet, but it has shown us that the only way for the darkness to be beaten is for us to say yes to the birth of light. So in these moments of quiet now, we pray our yes. And we ask for you to pour your light and your life into us and into the people and the places and situations that are weighing on each of our hearts this season. Gracious God, this is the season for miracles, and so we dare to pray that you would be working them amongst all of these precious people we've prayed for tonight. And we ask this in the name of the one tucked into that manger, full of life and light and love. Amen. Friends, in all of our Christmas Eve services this year, we are dedicating all of the monies given through the offering to the work of David's Place. David's Place is a program of the Island Crisis Care Society, and it is an assisted living program designed to help and support people who have come through treatment for addictions and are now attempting to live their lives in recovery. It's a much-needed program in our community, and they're doing very good work and just really getting started. They just started in August of this year. So we hope you might be moved to support their work. If you are, you can give to them directly through Island Crisis Care Society, or you can go to our church website and go to the online giving section where there is an option for you to give for the Christmas Eve offering to David's Place. Thank you for the ways you will give to that very important work. Let's pray now to dedicate all of the gifts that have been given in all of these services to support that work David's Place is doing. So join me in the offertory prayer. Gracious and generous God, with Jesus' birth came life in abundance. We thank you for him, and in response, we offer these our gifts. Use them to bless the work of David's Place, to bring strength and a sense of purpose to those who do the work, and to bring peace, comfort, hope, and healing to those they serve. As we open ourselves to you this night, may love be born in us all. Amen. Friends, if you have a candle at hand, get it ready, because we're going to light them now. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
Oh,
Friends, it has been done. The news has been shared. A young maiden will bear a child and she will call him Jesus. But that's just the beginning of this story, and it is a story that is not yet ended. It's a story that includes us, a story that we are all a part of. So we go out to live this story, to tell of the hope that is being born among us this Christmas, to share the love of this season with the world, to be agents of peace in times of trouble, and to sing songs of deep and abiding joy. And as we go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. Amen. And Merry Christmas, everyone.